The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's happening, runners? Welcome back to another episode of The Running Podcast, the podcast where we talk about everything running. The highs, the lows, the ugly bits, and of course, everything in between. My name is Lloyd. I'll be your host for today's episode. I've had a week off, so I'm super full of energy. And after last week's episode with Nico Young, we did say that we'd have a special show coming up today with some Australian distance athletes. Now, whilst this show will be super special, we've had to substitute the guests around a little bit. So unfortunately, no Aussies today. But at Trackster, we can pull the big game performances out of the bag without fail. And on today's show, we have a world exclusive interview, ladies and gents, with no other than Olympic, world and Commonwealth silver medalist, British record holder and 800-metre global superstar, Keely Hodgkinson. On today's show, we chat with Keely from her house in Manchester about her dubious history behind the wheel of a car, how her sponsorships work at the level she is. We touch up on that rivalry with Athing Mo, and we even chat about that 800-metre world record and whether it's in grasp. Now, if you do want to follow along with what we're doing at Trackster and this podcast, please do head over to our Instagram and drop us a follow. And you can also check out our website, trackster.com. That's where we put all of our longer form content from our YouTube channel. And you can register for our running newsletter so you can keep up to date with all the running news around the world. You can also find the podcast episodes on the website too. And finally, if you'd like to support this show, please do leave us a thumbs up and a review, which is now available on all platforms. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Keely Hodgkinson. All right, welcome to the show, Keely. How are we doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much for giving us your time. I was just chatting to you off recording about your experience with podcasts, and I wanted to start this interview with the first question. Have you ever done a podcast before?
I don't think I have actually ever. I'm trying to think. Maybe one when I was, maybe before Tokyo when I was like 18 was the last podcast I did.
Okay, but since being an Olympic medalist, you haven't done any.
That sounds really snobby, doesn't it? No, I haven't really done them. I'm not really a podcast listener myself, unless like something I really, really want to listen to. But I don't know. I just haven't really done them before.
Maybe this is the start of your podcast career.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Okay, well, let's see how this one goes. We'll evaluate after. But no, thank you so much for giving us your time. Where are you in the world right now?
For once, I'm at home in Manchester, the great city.
Yeah, okay, nice. And is that where you're based for training, etc.? Everything's around Manchester?
Well, yes and no. So this is my home base where I'm from. This is where, when I am at home, we train around here. But I spend a lot of my time now in South Africa. At least 3 to 4 months of the winter there. So I'd say I'm half South African now, pretty much. I adopted the local, the locals very well. And I have a place out there, so it's very easy for me to just go out there and train. It's not my favorite place in the world because it's just, I associate that place with pain and just training. So oh. I'm like, another training camp, for God's sake. But it gets the work done and it gets results, so.
Yeah, it's not the Maldives. I get it. Yeah, fair enough.
It's definitely not the Maldives.
You mentioned you got a place out there. How long have you had a house out there?
About a year now. Just over a year. I got it last April. It's so different out there, though, because it ain't like the UK. It is one quarter of the price.
Yeah.
The same thing. So it's a good investment, and hopefully I'll have it for like the rest of my career, and I can use it, other athletes can use it as well. So
yeah, I've seen that with athletes like Mo Farah, Paula Radcliffe. They've got places in like Font, and sounds like a good investment. No, that's awesome. All right, so let's go right back to the start. This is where we always generally start with podcast interviews because we never really know where to start. But how did you get into sport, and how did that eventually transition into athletics?
So I think I probably took the same route as most kids do, where you do like the typical like swimming lessons, you know, you go to the love. So I went still coming. I started swimming first, and I ended up taking that quite seriously from a really young age. I was like 11 and getting up at like 4 a.m. to go swimming. Whereas now I talk to my coach and he's like, no, we don't do that anymore. And I said, yeah, because that's child abuse. Like making an 11-year-old kid, but I did it and I'm just like, why? And then eventually it was just too much. But from that fitness I had from swimming, I did a local cross-country race and I did quite well for my primary school. So I went down to the local club. I started training there, was doing like the cross countries and things like that. Hated cross country. I would stand in the line crying because it was so cold. Then I quit for a year because I just didn't want to do it anymore. And me and my dad had this back and forth argument because I was like, he's like, you're a much better like runner. And I'm like, what? So I'm a bad swimmer then? Is how I take it. And he's like, no, I'm not saying that. I just think you have better abilities. And I'm like, no, you're saying I'm not good. So eventually I went back after quitting swimming and I've been there ever since. And I started taking it more seriously maybe after my first national title when I was like 15.
Yeah, I had a read through your early years and it actually goes nicely into the next question. But before we get into that, you were part of a club. What was your original club?
I still run for them. Lee Harriers.
Lee Harriers. Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that. And that's Wigan?
No. Well, no. Technically.
See, I'm a southerner. I don't know anything that's going on up there.
Yeah, it's in the Wigan borough. But okay. Wigan's just... People say I'm from Wigan. I'm not. It really winds me up. But yeah, it's in... Lee is just a small town. It's outside of Great Manchester in the Wigan borough.
I've actually done a British Athletics League there.
In Lee?
I think so. I think
it's actually a really good track.
Yeah, I think I remember like,
it's got
going
great
there.
Facilities. Probably. Yeah,
I actually remember the track was decent.
But it's in the middle of just this random area, all these facilities. Like Man United Women, I think their stadium is that stadium now for when they have home games. So it's really coming on, but nobody ever uses it. But it's actually a good track.
Big up, Lee. Big up, Lee.
Big up, Lee.
So, yeah, you said about... your early years, and when we talk about your rise to fame, if you like, when I've told people or people within the Traxler team that we're doing this interview, it's a case of right, make sure you talk about Keely's rise to fame and how quick it was. But I'm gonna go against that because for athletics nerds like me, I've read up on your junior career. You've had a lot of success as a junior from English titles, UK school games. And then obviously into more like major champs, like European under 18s. And, you know, and then it goes on and on and on. So you've had a lot of success at various age groups. So I would actually disagree that you've had a very quick shot to stardom. But now let's look at it as it is now. You're now a global superstar, let's be honest, right? And what I want to understand, you're welcome. What I want to understand, was there a day where you woke up or something happened on a day where you were like, oh shit, I'm big time now. Like, I'm big time.
I hate to disappoint you, but no, not really.
Oh, I thought it was going to be something that happened.
Well, no, I don't think, I think there may be a sense of like, oh, I've made it to the life that, you know, as a kid growing up, you think, oh, you hear people say, I want to be a professional athlete, I want to be this. And it's like, oh, I've actually managed to do this at the age of 19.
Yeah.
I think that's the sense of that. Not necessarily, oh, look at me, I'm sick.
Not even when you got like a blue tick on Insta or nothing like that?
No, not really. Because what does that mean?
Means you're big time.
Maybe. I don't know.
Fair enough. Okay. I wasn't sure if there's going to be like, I don't know. Like some people that we've interviewed were like, well, like, this is the difference. This is the difference where we're talking to an Olympic medalist and we're talking to a professional athlete. I'm not saying that like you're two different levels of the people, but when you're like the top athlete in the world, I just thought that there would be doors that would have opened or certain things that would have happened where you were like, oh my days, this is nuts.
I mean, maybe recently a little moment, like I did, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I did a shoot with Vogue, not like the other week. And to me, obviously, if you say the word Vogue, everyone's like, oh my God. But even like my friends from school, like, oh my God, Vogue. And, you know, I just feel like models that worked their entire life to get into Vogue. So I'm very fortunate that athletics opened that door for me. So maybe that was a bit of a, oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you, that wasn't the thing that you mentioned because that is pretty mental.
Yeah, I get it. But I did it last week on my rest day and I was so tired. I was just like, it was a lot of fun. Definitely different, and I enjoyed it. But yeah, that's probably one of the moments I'd say. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. And how has your life changed, if at all, from, let's go, European under-18s, that age, so 16, 17, to now 4 or 5 years later, 21, Olympic medalist, World Champs medalist, Commonwealth Games medalist, British record holder. How's your life changed from through your eyes?
So I used to answer this question and say, oh, no, it's not changed at all. But then it really has. And when I look back, even just before pre-Tokyo, to I was still a uni student. I didn't even go, to be honest. I don't know if I passed first year. I didn't even check. But as the very, and people think
this
I dropped
is such
out.
A bad, this is such a bad a message to young listeners.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, education is not for me. It's either one or the other. I was either doing, if for me to do well in education, I have to be 100% on it. Or it's either 100% track. Like, I couldn't do the two. And I guess I had a good year, but I also just kind of backed myself to be like, no, I think I can, or even just for a little, even if I delayed it by 2 years, you know, it just was like, it's not for me right now. But people think I delayed uni because of Tokyo, but I decided I wasn't going back before that even happened, before I even made the Olympic team. But the way I'd say it's changed is I just feel like I was this 19-year-old, and even though at the time I felt quite mature for my age, I was a kid. Like, I was just a kid. Like, that year was probably the best year I'll have in my life. I don't know if much is going to top it. And it threw a lot of opportunities at me, a lot of excitement, a lot of highs. But it also, you know, that I moved out of my home, and then all of a sudden I've signed this new contract with Nike. I'm now a full-time athlete. I got my own place. And then I just feel like I grew up so quickly. Mm-hmm. I went from 19 to then I feel like I'm like 26 now, but I'm not, but I am. In some ways, I'm still young and I'm still 21, but I think the past thing I've struggled with is almost like, not say losing my personality a little bit, but just a bit lost in who I am, which actually sounds really deep.
No, I get it, I understand.
But I think just a lot of that, like just a whole life change of obviously what I want to do, and I'm so super grateful for that. But just kind of wrapping your head around being this underdog. It's a lot easier to be an underdog than it is. And I'm not even world champion, so I don't even have the target on my back. Mm. You know, someone else has got that. But, you know, going to Diamond Leagues, and now if I lose, it's like, I'm really sorry you lost. Whereas a year before, it would be like, oh my God, you came second in Diamond League. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. In Tokyo, I was coming fourth and fifth, and that was insane. And now me not winning a Diamond League is like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, it's like the classic. It's very common. It's tough to get to the top, but it's tough to stay there.
Yeah. That's just one thing I kind of noticed. Like, oh, but it's actually, me come second in Diamond League is still amazing. It's a great day. And half the time, I probably just had a bad day. Not every day is going to be amazing. But yeah, I think that's just how things have changed and different expectations. We don't play on my mind that much, but I've definitely noticed it a little bit. But I like competitive. Yeah, I like the competitiveness. I like, you know, me wanting, I want to do well, and I want to do well for my team and people around me. And
love that. Yeah. Well, I think that two years is not a long period of time. Obviously we come off the back of the pandemic, so everything was a little bit up in the air, but it just sounds like when you said there, you feel 26, but you're not, you're 21, but you've probably got a lot more stuff sorted out in your life than a lot of people at 21 do. And I feel like that may have happened quite quickly. So it's common, you know, in terms of like figuring out your identity, it's because a lot of things have kind of come onto your plate very quickly. So then it's how do you manage all that? How do you juggle all that? And how do you kind of digest it all? I guess it must be a tough job.
I think, yeah, that's probably literally it. And it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't get me wrong. It's a very good problem to have. It's just, sometimes it's just a bit like, you know, you just want to go out at the weekend and chill out and not think about it, and then no, you've got this like career to do, which obviously I love, but it's different now. I definitely see it as more of than a hobby that I really want to do well at. It's like a job that I now really want to do well at, and I now look forward to the time away from the job.
If you was to like relate this to like a 9-to-5 office job, professional progression, so like you said there, it's now a job that I really want to do well at. Can you relate to that, where it's a case of like you're in a job and you want to grow within the role and go further and further and further and further, but once upon a time this was a hobby where you just wanted to have fun?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different. I think the motivation is one thing, and 2021, I've never been so motivated in my life. I was this young 19-year-old who was trying to break two, and possibly make the Olympic team, and now maintaining that, it's just keeping that drive going, which we've found ways in my training group and support to keep that. But it's just like a 9-to-5 job, and sometimes you need a break. And sometimes you just want to crack on and get the work done.
We're going to talk a little bit about having fun and passions away from the track later in this conversation. But one thing I do want to talk to you about is something on this podcast we talk a lot about, and I've spoken about this for years, is opportunities for athletes. I feel that there's a lack of funding and financial rewards for athletes compared to other sports. So, you're basically the Harry Kane, like the Lionel Messi. Let's be real, like you are, but the sports are in completely different planets. But you are an athlete that has had more lucrative sponsorships compared to other athletes. And one I want to talk about is luxury watch brand Omega. I'm a big watch guy and
Okay, cool.
big watch guy. And when I watched you at the Birmingham Diamond League last year, everyone was gassed. Yes, Keely got the win, new track, everyone's happy.
Did you just see the watch?
I was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, well, I want to know what that watch is. So I was looking on Instagram, I was like, trying to find which model it was, right? Anyway, so I'm on the website and checking it out, and I'm like, geez, she's got a few bags on her wrist right there. But
Oh, did you figure it out?
yeah, I figured it out. What was the model of that watch?
It's the Aquaterra with the Omega Seamaster Aquaterra, I think. It's worth about, I probably shouldn't even say how much. I probably get robbed if so much.
Yeah, don't worry
But
about
yeah,
saying it. It's all right. Anyone wants to know,
it's
they
worth a
can.
lot of money. Yeah, they can go online and look.
It's worth a few quid.
Yeah, I don't own that watch though,
Okay.
so that one is the race watch. So within my contract, I get some budget to spend on watches that I will get to keep. But that one is the race watch. Every Omega athlete has it. And it's quite masculine in my opinion. It looks really like,
It's
if you know what I
sporty, isn't it?
mean. And it's on a Velcro strap. So you have that mad of a watch on a Velcro strap.
That strap's honking, isn't it? Let's
Yeah,
go.
it's mad. But I guess they just give them out to other athletes. So but it's cool. They're a cool brand, and I'm a really big James Bond fan. So we went to the headquarters last year after the Zurich Diamond League, and we got to see like all the watches. They made one for Elvis for when he got like so many Grammys, the Marilyn Monroe watch. They had all the James Bond watches from 70s to now, and it was just sick. So if you should go check it out.
Are they going to make a Keely watch?
They should do.
They should. Well, there
I
you
should
go.
get
If they
commission.
listen to
I'll take
this,
commission of that.
yeah, if they listen to this, maybe they will. But I just wanted to touch on that sponsorship a little bit.
Yeah.
Just can you talk us through how that came about? Like how they came knocking at your door? Was it something you expected? And at which point did that all transpire?
No, so my agent just kind of commented one time and was like, "Oh, Amiga want to do a deal with you," which I thought was obviously really cool because they have a lot of top athletes. They've got like Noah Lyles, like Dalila, Femke, bunch of people have been there and had them. So I feel like it's one of those like quite traditional high-end type watches, and who doesn't like a watch?
Yeah,
I
fair.
like a watch. But they just seem quite cool. They're into their sport. They sponsor different athletes in different sports, and I think it's a nice one to have in the color. I don't have many sponsors. I'm not one that's got loads, because I think I'd like to keep mine quite exclusive or quite just. Because also these sponsorships will want days from you, and you've got to prioritize. Like if anything gets in the way of training, I get really wound up, and I'm like, oh. But even though like obviously they're paying you money, so you can't like sit it down. So you just have to be careful. Unfortunately, I'm in a position where I don't need a million sponsors. I am doing all right, and I'm very lucky to be like that. So yeah, they're good. They understand, and I see them at the Diamond Leagues count as appearances. So that's great.
Do they? That's a
Yeah.
touch.
I know, because they sponsor the Diamond League, so whenever
Yeah.
you race one, it's an appearance.
There you go. It's like getting double pay, isn't it, on bank holiday. If I
Yeah.
get the win in the race, everyone's happy. Lovely.
Exactly.
I want to ask you, is there a brand out there that you would dream of working with? Like, are we talking, like, you said you're a James Bond fan. Are we like Aston Martin or like Van Cleef
Oh
Jewellery?
my God.
What if there was one brand out there?
Probably Aston Martin. I would love. Because I love the Aston Martins because they're obviously the James Bond and the heritage there. But I went I saw the James Bond car that they use in the films back in 2021. It was my post-Olympic treat. I got to drive the car that they use in the for the DB5, the vintage one. It's worth like $3.3 million.
Is that the one from Sparkle?
They use it in all of them.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Just the little vintage one with like the guns and then
oh,
the
yeah, Scarfall.
Yeah, and they used it in, what's the most recent one? It's not the Spectre, Skyfall Spectre, and you know what I'm talking about. How do I not know the name of it?
I don't know. I like them, but you're the one that said you're the fan, so I'll let you answer it.
I can't even remember the name of it, but they used it in that film, and I saw it just before it went to the premiere. And then I was saying to them, I was like, oh, like, if you want to give me a car, like, sign me up. So I guess Aston Martin would be one for a car sponsorship. But I'd also love to work with Tiffany jewelry. Yeah. But jewelry's not a big thing. And obviously Omega, they do actually sell jewelry as well. But I feel like that'd be really cool.
They did a collab with Nike, didn't they, with some of their apparel recently?
They did. I managed to sneak a pair of them.
Did ya?
Oh,
yeah, well, I'm not on that pay grade yet, but that was cool. And maybe like I think one thing that came from the track season last year was I can't remember the athlete, but he was wearing a Patek Philippe watch. It might have been Johan Blake, I don't know, but there was a big conversation on Twitter about like athletes and watch sponsors. It's perfect because like it gets so much coverage when you go over the line. Like people are like, that ain't a Garmin. What is it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Was it not a Richard Mille?
Oh, sorry. You're right. Yeah. See, you know watches more than I do.
I do. The Richard Mille. I think Akani Simbini is sponsored by them. Because they're South African as well. So that makes... And I think... I remember someone saying about Nathie Thiam. She wore one at indoors.
This is the... This is it.
It's got this like 200K watch on your wrist. You're like, what?
Yeah, that was the tweet. Yeah, because she came over the line and that was it. Yeah, it was like... It was mad, but yeah,
it'd be cool if more watches could, you know, get involved in the track scene. Definitely better than most sports we've seen things like that in the list.
Yeah, 100%. One last thing on brands. I've seen on your this is going to sound really creepy, but I've seen on an Insta story a couple of times you driving a Jaguar. Which Jag do you drive?
I drive the E-Pace. Nothing bad.
That's cute. What color is it?
It is cute. It's all black. Blacked out, all black wheels, black thing. I look like a bit of a roadman when I drive around, to be honest, with my silly little private reg.
I got a Jag as well, so we're in the Jag club. That's why
I know. I love cars, but I can't get insured on my at my age, and my license isn't the cleanest, we'll say. So
do you want to talk about that?
I'm an open book.
All right. Why is your license not the cleanest? How many points you got? What you done? Criminal record?
No, I've got 3 points and I got 2 speeding tickets. That was, and a whiplash claim. But right, that guy took the absolute piss out of me. I was like 17, just passed, and we were in traffic and I wasn't really paying attention. Technically, it was my fault, so I went to the back of him. But when I tell you we were moving like 5 mph, and he just like stopped in front and I just like slammed on and I bumped him. He got out the car, started shouting at me. Little 17-year-old me didn't even know what to do. So I didn't even take pictures or anything. And then 6 months later, there's $2,000. He's claiming whiplash. So that's kind of fucked me for the last 4 years.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot to digest there. I mean, slow down. Just you only need to run fast. You don't need to be driving fast, Keely. Slow down in that.
It was a pure accident, but it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. If anything's come from this podcast so far, is that you can be a superstar athlete and also have points on your license. But fuck that guy that went for the whiplash claim. That's not fair.
I hope he realizes.
What
he did to me now, yeah.
So, one question actually, I've just noticed, is that a knuckle duster you got? Because I've seen you. What?
No, what? Okay.
What's the story? For anyone that's not aware,
For
anyone that's not aware that maybe just listening to this, when this comes out and you're on your long run, Keely's got a knuckle duster.
And no, I know, they're actually illegal.
I'm getting a little bit scared right now.
No, it's not it's a bottle opener.
It's a bottle opener.
Listen, right. I live by myself in Salford.
Hey, what, are you just getting on the Bevs tonight, like this afternoon? Is that why you got it out?
No, it's just here. My dad left it here the other day, so I'm just
hating the worst.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Picture ever right now. You've got points, yeah, we've got bottle openers, but other than that, everything's hunky-dory. Let's get back onto the good stuff.
Move on.
A lot of athletes and a lot of success comes from USA, or people that train there, or people from there. You know, America, obviously a huge, huge power force in the sport at the moment. You're one of the few medalists that are based in the UK. Yes, you do your stints in South Africa, but, you know, your homegrown talent. What is it that works well for you when you come back here with your coach and your setup?
I think with my setup, particularly, I'm very blessed to have someone so close to me that training works for me. You know, we get on, like, the life, it just fits. I don't have to leave the UK or go to Europe or change my whole life. Like, it's all just here. But I think before anything, we just knew what we was doing. Like, I don't know, like, Trevor's been in this for so long. He's had Jenny, he's had other athletes, that he knows what setup works for him, to the point where we don't need funding or to rely on anyone else. Like, the Tokyo year, we got there off our own back. There wasn't really much help from anyone else. So, and I think that's something they learned in Jenny's career, not to rely on anyone. So yeah, I think that's kind of it, really. So we kind of just know what we're doing, and if we do need anything, like, we won't hesitate to reach out, but just trusting ourselves, I think.
And you mentioned there your coach, Trevor Painter. Can you talk us through what your relationship is like with Trevor?
Trevor's great. He makes a lot of stupid dad jokes, but he is great to have around. And he is like a second father to me. Like, I see him more than I see my own family these days. And he understands me, and he knows when I come to the track and I don't want to speak to anyone. Or I come to the track and I'm happy. And, you know, he just kind of gets me and what I need. So I think that's why we work so well. It's, you know, it's a long relationship now. I've been with him for my fourth year, which has gone so quick. But yeah, I think we just communicate well, and I trust his training, and I know I get a lot of my confidence from training. So if something's not going well, I'll ask him, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
and he'll reassure me or anything like that. But yeah, I just trust our setup so much that I just know as long as I commit to it 100%, I should be okay. And injury free, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers, touch wood. In those scenarios in training where high pressure scenarios, maybe you've got a session where you've got to run at race pace or certain splits, and let's say that anger gets the better of you, or you show some form of frustration. I don't know whether this sounds like you, but maybe it does.
Yeah.
How does Trevor handle those situations?
We've had quite a few of them. I think he'll let me just, like, he finds it quite funny when I lash out, because it doesn't happen over, and I'll finish rep and I'll just go, what the fuck was that? I don't know if I'm going to swear on here, but
yeah, no.
I'll be like, what is that? That was shocking. And he'll be like, sometimes he'll try to give me a million, so he'll be like, no, you're tired, you've done this. And I'll go, no, I've been tired before and I've done a million things, like, what was that? And then he'll just laugh and he'll be like, oh, I love it when you're angry, because it gets me fired up. So he didn't see it as such a bad thing. But then there has been times, like before the World Champs last year, I did a very important key session, and it's one that I do get a lot of confidence from. And it went shambolic. It went awful. And I just, I crossed the line crying and was like, how on earth am I supposed to, like, medal next week, make the final, anything? That was so bad. And he's like, no, can't, like, you've done all the work just because that went wrong. Like, he's good at reassuring me like that, and I take a bit of time to process it and move on from it. But yeah, most of the time he just laughs at me, to be honest.
Which must initially make you more angry when he's laughing at you.
He just goes quiet and he's just laughing in the corner whilst I'm running. Yeah. He just lets me calm down, but, and then, you know, then we'll talk about it. But it doesn't happen that often, to be fair. I'm quite good, I think, with just processing it and being like, let's just not dwell on it. Like, I've got months and months of training in me.
Love that.
One bad
Love
thing
that.
Is not horrendous.
Brilliant. And yeah. Okay, cool. So let's talk 153.28. That's the 800 meter world record at the moment. Now, whether it was clean is a completely different conversation with so much speculation.
I have no comment to that.
I wasn't going to ask you, but is that a mark that you ever think about striving for in your career?
I definitely have had lots of conversations about it. I like to say nothing's impossible, but in my head, you kind of got to aim to run 152 to break that record. And that's still 3.5 seconds quicker than I've run yet. And I definitely think it's very hard. Like, obviously, it was done a very long time ago, which makes me question the legitimacy of it. But you can always hope. But I think it's something we definitely can get close to. But the technology and the science that we have and the new ways of training and understanding our bodies better, I think we could definitely get close to it. Like, I think 153 is possible. 153.2, I don't know. It might take a very special day and a tailwind.
Yeah,
it'll be a Monaco. Everything goes perfect, tip-top shape, I think. So, yeah, you just have to see. But I think the main thing is medals.
Mm-hmm. And, well, if it makes you feel any better, Keely, you said that you're 3.5 seconds off. You're not. You're 2.5.
Oh, am I? Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'll just save you a second.
Then.
There you go.
Easy.
I'll just save you a second, and it didn't cost you nothing, so you're welcome. So let's see what happens with that mark. But you're now, I mean, I looked at your official ranking from, I saw on the internet your official ranking was obviously number one. I can't remember what year it was, but I don't know how regular the rankings get updated. But let's be real, there's two main athletes when we talk 800 meters in the world at the moment on the women's side, you and Athing Mo. What pops into your head when I say Athing Mo?
I think I just want to win a major title. Basically, you know, that's kind of what pops into my head. Athing is a great athlete, and I think when we get together and race, which actually I've raced her 3 times, you know, I've really not raced her that much at all. I don't really know, like, compared to like Mary Mora that I raced on the circuit quite a lot, you can kind of, like, she's a bit unpredictable, but I can kind of work out how the race may go or what to use. Whereas with Athing, she doesn't really race that much, and I tend to miss the major champion. Like, I do think it's a good thing because I think it leaves the anticipation. I'm in Europe doing one thing, she's in the States doing another. But yeah, I just wouldn't say much other than just wanting to beat her.
Yeah, fair, honest. I like that. Obviously, as I said, the two best in the world. We're blessed as fans to witness that rivalry unfold before us. From my personal perspective, it's a rivalry because you're two very fast athletes, but that's really as far as it kind of goes. It's not like your boxings and your football and that type of rivalries. Athletics is still that very much Cambridge, Oxford, very polite, nicey-nicey. Do you two ever connect, or is it strictly professional? You just see each other at races?
Yeah, not really. I wouldn't even say professional. I just think there's no, like, there's no intent. Like, do you know what I mean? There's just not really an intent. She's a lovely girl. Like, when I've seen her post-race, like, we chat and we've had a good conversation. But we probably get asked so many questions about each other that it's just like...
Yeah. Well,
again, like, I'll go to a press conference at Diamond League and half the questions will be about her. And then it's same as the other way around. And probably just like, fucking hell, just keep talking about it. But
I feel bad that I'm going to ask another question. But if
no,
it makes
it's fine.
It's about you. It's about you. Obviously, Tokyo was Tokyo. You finished in silver, second behind Mo. And then in Eugene, world champs again. But Eugene was quite, it was 0.08 in it. So you closed the gap dramatically. Is there a sense of, on the start line of a major final now, is your mind in a place where it's right, I've got one athlete to beat and that goal's mine? Or do you approach it in a completely different way?
I think through my mind, I'll be honest, when I lined up on that day, I genuinely thought I was going to win. Like, I genuinely believed that. I was like, I know I'm capable of it. So I think she was the main threat, that obviously there was many good girls in that race, and I do think about them. But if you start thinking about everyone, you can't, you just, it's very loud. It's very loud. So I think for me, it was about running my best race, and I knew I was in good shape. I knew I was capable of being here. It was just doing it right. And I don't think I put a foot wrong in that race. Had I gone on the outside, who knows? I don't know. Like, you know, I went on the inside and that was just how it happened. But I genuinely don't think I put a foot wrong. So yeah, I do back myself to come out. I do line up all the time thinking I can win this. It's just a case of it going my way, I guess, and it being a smooth race.
Love that. On this podcast, Kaylee, we try and talk about training and science behind training as little as possible, because I just think it's boring personally. I'm more about the person, the personality, who you are. And one of my bugbears in the sport at the moment is that as fans, we just don't really get access to our stars. I've seen personally a lot of personality from you in your interviews post-race. And especially
really
when, yeah, genuinely, and
well, that's fun.
So we saw a lot of emotion post Istanbul European indoors. We saw your competitive nature in your interview post Commonwealth Games when you took the silver there. Do you wish there was more opportunity for athletes of your level to show who they truly are to the wider public?
I think so. Well, there's two minds about that, because I think, yeah, it would be great, you know, people that want to listen and hear and about us and what we do and, you know, our lives and what it's actually like being, because I think people have this idea of what it's like being a professional athlete, but it's not, I don't know, I don't think it's all that, if you get me, what the idea of people have. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, some people say to me like, oh, so can you just not do anything? Like, you can't even social with your friends. And I'm like, what do you think? I'm a robot that sits at home. That's not the case. I just think it'd be interesting to go into, because everyone trains differently as well. Like, it's such a diverse, complex sport that would be very interesting. But it also opens up the door to a lot of criticism, a lot of opinions that sometimes you just don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So I think it's who wants to open that door. You see it with the ones who are most active on Instagram. I'm not particularly that active on Instagram. Sometimes I'll post like 10 stories and then I'll just go silent for like a month. I won't post anything because I'm just not too bothered about it. And I'm not really that accessible on Instagram, to be honest. I think compared to some other athletes that post a lot of their training, that post a lot of this and that. And I think either or is great, whatever you want to do. But it just depends what you want to, you know, door you want to open to, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen some athletes post their requests and some people saying some really weird things that is, you just sometimes you just think, well, I don't need to see that. Do you know what I mean? Like, why? I don't want to open my DMs and see that. So yeah, I think it depends what you want. But I do think it would be great to, because you had this whole like drive to survive thing for athletics that's not going ahead now, which I think is a shame, because there's definitely a lot of personality in athletics. And I even said, even if you was to follow the team to the senior champs, you would get such a different insight into what it's actually like, to what people think it's like. Like, I think people have this idea that everyone's just like mega focused. Like, everyone is focused and everyone's on their job, but people be socialized. There's drama. Yeah. There's, you know, this and that. People upset. People really happy. People excited. People down. Like, it would be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, it was a shame to hear that that got rejected. I think that's a conversation around benefits to the broadcaster and stuff. But I think you may see, well, what we're trying to do is, and what we will do, we would love to document more behind the scenes of athletes' lives. You know, obviously, yeah, they go and do a session, but what are they doing in and around a session? Like, who are they as a person? What is their life like at home? Generally, for people like us and people that are passionate in the sport that want to do that, it's all budget and resource dependent. But I think like governing bodies and the people that do hold the funds have to take more responsibility, because like we've seen it with the personalities coming out with some of the races overseas, with like personalities like Noah Lyles and Grant Holloway, and Athing Mo doing more stuff on Nike's socials. Like, they've got personality. You guys have got great personalities and stories, and I hope we see more people willing to share it. So yeah, I'll see you up in Lee for a sesh.
Yeah, feel free. I think it's just budget, and you know, we're not tennis, And I remember someone, and it's a shame because I remember back in 2021, and I think Emma Raducanu had just won that US Open, and I just won the Diamond League, and someone put a tweet on about the money the money comparison, and they were like, we were the same age. I think she's a bit younger than me, and she just won 2 million, and I just won 30K.
Let's go.
Obviously, oh yeah, obviously 30K for 19 was obviously insane. That was a sick day. But when you're seeing 2 million in another sport, you're just like, what, like how is that there? And we're, 'cause to me, I almost think we're going backwards right now, unfortunately. It really is going backwards.
Yeah, I think
And
you're
it's a
right.
shame.
Well, there's a lot of negative press at the moment in track and field in the UK. There's a lot of stuff that sucks, but if there's one good thing that's come out of the news literally this morning is that the mayor of London has pledged millions to renovate Crystal Palace,
Oh, I remember everything said before.
which is a good move. So, let's see what happens with that. But yeah, fingers crossed there's gonna be
Yeah,
more
I
action.
think it just needs like modernizing a little bit, like a whole new, it's a new world now, and it's social media is a big thing, but it's just getting it out there in the right way to, I think World Athletics have done a great job of their Instagram. They've got like 2 million followers or something, and they're very on top of it, and it's just a lot of that trying to get it more into the TVs. Because even I spoke to Steve Cram in the past, he'll be like, when I was running, they used to stop the news mid news would pause, everyone go watch him run for 5 minutes, and that was it. And I'm like, well, that would never happen in a million years now.
No.
It's like, oh, you run, and a lot of people only resonate with the Olympics. So it's like, oh, you're an athlete, oh, you've been to the Olympics, are you faster than Usain Bolt? No, obviously I'm not faster than Usain
What's
Bolt,
your marathon PB?
but yeah, which is 5K. I don't do 5K. Which 100? I don't do the 100. So it's just finding ways to connect with normal people as well on how to make them understand it. When you understand the sport, I think it's great. If
Yeah,
you don't
more eyes on
understand
it.
it,
More eyes on it are needed.
yeah.
For sure. So we see you on the track, smashing it, doing GB proud, hitting your goals, winning medals, but that's very physical and performance orientated in terms of what athletes of your level are able to share to us. What I want to know is a bit more about you off the track. So, what do you do for fun?
When I get any time to do anything for fun, I like to just do like almost like experiences and things like that, which are very hard to fit into my schedule. I do a lot of lying on my couch and watching Netflix. But I also I love going to spa weekend. I love just even going shopping, even if I don't buy anything. I like to spend, I almost want to say like not a luxury lifestyle, that sounds really, but I like doing enjoyable things.
I like expensive stuff.
I do like expensive stuff, but no, I just like doing like enjoyable, like after my birthday, after the indoor season, I went to Dubai, which was really fun. I like to just have nice times I can remember. And I have a few hobbies myself, the things that I like to do. Like I'm quite into like drawing, doing a few arty type things, bit of an impulsive kind of whatever I'm in the mood for, I'll just kind of do at that point in time. Like I have a keyboard that I bought. I haven't touched it in 6 months, but at the time I told myself I was going to learn how to play the piano. It's not happened.
Sorry, I don't know why that's made me laugh so much. It's just
It's
so
not
impromptu,
happened, but
gorgeous.
it's there. And I'd be like, okay, I want to do this. Let me go learn French and I'll download Duolingo and it just won't work.
And you said about life experiences, and you said about going to Dubai. Obviously, you're locked into the track season coming up, but what's the next experience that you've got on your list that maybe you've got planned, or you're thinking like, that's one thing I want to go and do in the next few years?
I think, well, obviously the next thing will be off season, but I can't even plan for off season right now. I've not even opened my season yet,
Yeah.
and I'm thinking about off season. But
We're already
yeah,
planning you
honestly,
down
so
the
I got to January and I was like, I need a break, Trim. He's like, not even ran yet. I'm like, I know. Things I want to do. I think there's just so much to do in the world, in cities, even if it's like doing something stupid, like going to a pottery class and
line.
painting. I like just doing random things like that. I think it's just something new. It widens your what's the word? Like widens your
Horizon.
just your I don't know, like your just widens your ideas of what's going on. You might find something new that you like.
Fair, fair. You said about a couple of hobbies, but when you think about passions, are there any passions outside of running that you have that you maybe want to delve into more into the future when you think more into your mid, late 20s?
I think for me, I definitely want to, with the opportunities that I've had with track, I want to delve more into the other side of that, whether it be going into like the fashion world or just any opportunities that I get through that I'd like to explore. It's just, it's genuinely finding the time, like, say passions, I still think I'm probably trying to find that right now. And because I don't have uni or anything like that, like, so I'm just like, that's why I like to just do different things and hopefully I'll find something that I am really passionate about. But right now I wouldn't say there's one thing that I'm like, I want to do that.
And you said that you spend a lot of time on the couch watching Netflix. What are you watching at the moment?
I've just finished watching The Night Agent.
Oh my days, it's so good.
It is good. It was really good. And then Selling Sunset, a new season out.
Fair. I am marathoning Harry Potter at the moment because they put them all on last week.
Oh my gosh, I know they have. I do need to watch it. But you know what? The first one is actually so bad.
It's horrendous. It's so
bad.
Old.
I used to love watching it, and then I watched it again like 2 years ago, and I was like, "What is this? The acting is so."
It's honking, isn't it?
About number three is when it's watchable after that.
Me and my partner, we're literally watching one pretty much every night at the moment.
Okay, I respect that.
Me and
my friend like Harry Potter as well.
One question from one of our listeners was for one of the previous podcasts, and we were asking it on every guest. That's such a lie, Lloyd. We don't ask it on every guest, but we ask it with certain guests. I'm not going to say why. But who's the most famous person in your phone contacts?
I don't know who will ask this question. Like, I'm going to have like Brad Pitt's number in my phone or something. most famous. Right.
You've done Vogue. Who knows?
Most famous person contact I have in my phone. Honestly, I don't think there is one. I can't lie.
There's not one famous person.
What do you class as famous?
Put me on the spot now. I don't really know.
Well, who's famous?
Okay. Who's the most... Okay, I class famous as someone would want to stop them and get a selfie with them.
The only person I'd want to stop and get a selfie with is Will Smith. Other than that, I'm not really bothered.
So you haven't got Will Smith's number then?
I don't have Will Smith's number now.
Okay, no worries. Moving on. You said about you haven't opened your season yet. What is next for you when we talk track?
I will be in Paris Diamond League in 2 weeks.
Sick. Nice. All right, amazing. Yeah. Keely, we're going to wrap this interview up with the way that we do on all of our episodes, and we genuinely do this on all of our episodes. Quick fire questions. I'm going to ask you 5 questions, and I just want you to just blurt out the first thing that comes into your head, all right?
Okay.
All right, if you had a magic wand, what's one thing that you'd change in athletics?
I think I would emphasis more around rivalries and competitions and actually bigging that up, even if it means you're faking the drama. People want to watch drama.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's the best thing about being a professional athlete?
I think traveling and experiencing different cultures and meeting people around the world.
What's the worst thing about being a professional athlete?
We are not robots, we are humans. I think you've got to remember that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What is a harsh truth that the running world needs to hear? Or the track and field world?
That, unfortunately, to most people, it's boring right now. And yeah, I just think we want to make it bigger. Unfortunately, it's boring.
Yep. Okay. And finally, what's one thing that you would have liked to have achieved in your life in 10 years' time that has nothing to do with athletics?
I'd actually say have a family.
Oh, that's a wholesome answer.
I know.
You're the first person to say that on the show.
Oh, was I? Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I think have a family. I like the idea. I don't want track to stop me from doing girly things.
Yeah, good for you. No,
family,
I rate that.
You know, things like that.
No, I rate that. Keely, thank you so much for your time. It's been a very, very funny, interesting interview. It's actually made me laugh a lot, which is good.
Oh, good.
Best of luck for Paris in 2 weeks. I hope it goes really well. And yeah, we'll chat. We'll catch you down the road.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
No, completely welcome. See you soon.
All right. Thank you for joining us this week for another episode of The Running Podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things running, the highs, the lows, the ugly bits, and of course, everything in between. Big shout out to our guest this week, Keely Hodgkinson, for her time today on the show. And if you have enjoyed today's listen, please do give us a thumbs up and leave us a review, and head over to our Instagram at Trackster, not just to keep up to date with what we're doing, but also what's going on around the track and field world. I've been Lloyd, your host for the day. I'll see you next week for another episode, and I'll catch you down the road for a run and another chat. But in the meantime, have a great week, runners.